Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Seasons of Alaska is a series of four baby board books published by the Best Beginnings Alaska Initiative. This project is giving the literary world an accurate representation of Native life in rural Alaska through photos and the creativity of several Alaska Native authors. Each book features the beauty of each season. Stay tuned to hear more about them today on our December Book of the Month. We'll crack open these books right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Oglala Sioux Tribe in South Dakota has started COVID-19 vaccines for healthcare workers with both Pfizer and Moderna, as Lee Strubinger reports.
Tribal leaders are carefully managing the number of vaccine doses they receive. Alicia Musso is vice president of the tribe. She says they're asking frontline workers what they want to do.
That we are polling, you know, to make sure people want to take it. We're not just saying you have to take it if you're in these infrastructures. We're asking if they want to.
Musso says tracking vaccines for healthcare workers helps the tribe advocate for the exact number of doses they need during this first phase. Musso says they're also working to boost confidence in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. They're asking other respected members of the community to set an example by taking the vaccine.
So we do have different influencers in our community and leaders in that way. And those of us who, you know, even though we have these political positions, we may have less risk factors and want to, you know, in our own way, culturally, allow other people to take that who are at higher risk.
The tribe's medical task force will continue to roll out its COVID vaccine plan. I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
A long-running water rights settlement between the Navajo Nation, the state of Utah, and the federal government has become law. As Ryan Heinches reports, as part of the sweeping COVID-19 and government spending bill signed by the president.
The Navajo-Utah Water Rights Settlement Act was among several bills included in the $2.3 trillion package. It ends decades of negotiations between tribal, federal, and state officials and affirms the tribe's right to more than 26.5 billion gallons of water a year from Utah's Colorado River Basin apportionment. The legislation also settles all current and future water claims made by the Navajo Nation in Utah and allocates $220 million to water infrastructure on the portion of the reservation located in the state. Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez calls the settlement historic and says it'll increase access to drinking water for many Navajo families. The president's office says more than 40% of Navajo Nation households in Utah lack running water or adequate sanitation. According to the Navajo Water Project, one in three residents on the reservation lack a sink or toilet in their homes. The Settlement Act was approved by the Navajo Nation Council in 2016 and introduced in Congress by a bipartisan group of lawmakers from Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico last year. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
The Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians in Montana was federally recognized 1 year ago. The tribe's working on opening its own health clinic next year, as Yellowstone Public Radio's Caitlin Nicholas reports.
Tribal Health Director Molly Wendland says the tribe will launch a healthcare system to provide medical, dental, behavioral, and traditional care to tribal members at their own clinic in Great Falls.
We've been a landless tribe and we're a reservationless tribe, and so to have something of our own and to be able to provide our members care is really important to us.
The Little Shell Tribal Health Clinic will likely open in late summer of 2021. But Wendland says work on the tribe's first healthcare facility is well underway.
We just completed demolition of the building that we purchased, and we're in the design phase, and we're getting ready to start with the remodel.
Wendland says the team will offer a holistic approach to healthcare. As an example, she says she's working closely with Little Shell's housing director, Heath LaFramboise, to ensure patients aren't struggling with homelessness, as healthcare and housing are closely connected.
So our primary care team will focus on sort of understanding each of our customers and their own unique story and values and influences in an effort to kind of engage them in their care and support long-term behavior change and help our tribal members be successful.
I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Now, National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at ramonafarms.com.
Support for this show provided by Canyon Records, producer of R. Carlos Nakai's newest album of Native American flute music, Nocturne. Nocturne is available at Amazon, iTunes, and CanyonRecords.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands of Shirwikdui via Skype. Trying to find books that reflect what we see and experience in our tribal communities can be a challenge. Seasons of Alaska, a series of four baby board books, aim to turn this around. It is a project of Best Beginnings Alaska. Button Up, Mittens and Muckluck, Bye Bye Ice, and Let's Play Out are the titles of the different books that are giving readers a close-up view of the different seasons in Alaska. And this hour, we're going to connect with some of the authors and hear a little bit more about what it took to bring some of these new tools to help our youngest readers, also our parents, connect with their children, and of course, showing some of the beauty of our Indigenous lives. And you are also invited into this conversation, too, when you are one of the first 10 people to make it on air. With your comment, maybe even question, you will receive a complimentary copy of the set of books. And all you got to do to do that is dial in. Our phone lines are ready for you now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. And if you too see a lack of books for young Native children or just Native children in general, what do you think about this initiative to turn things around? Join us again. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And today we are going to start off in Anchorage, Alaska. We have Abby Hensley with us. She is the executive director of Best Beginnings Alaska. My pleasure to have her here. Abby, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you, Tara.
And Abby, it was so much fun and refreshing to jump into this set of books and the different little faces in there, young people, you know, seeing them in their some traditional environments, even traditional clothing. It really, you know, brought a big smile on my face. And so I can see where this is really filling that gap. And for you, Abby, why is it important to have books like this to really break things away, or even putting books in the hands of our youngest readers with images they might relate to?
Tara, it's been well known, I think probably across Indian country, as well as here in Alaska, that there's just such a lack of books that children can see themselves reflected in, can see their families, can see their communities. And we know that that's really important for children. And so when Best Beginnings was given a grant from our State Department of Education and Early Development to develop some books for young children, we just jumped on it. And we thought that that there were really two reasons that we wanted to do this. One was obviously to have more books in children's hands, and those books that, you know, that children could see themselves in. But also we wanted to nurture and inspire some new Alaska Native authors. And we also wanted to use some of the beautiful photography that we know that Alaska Native photographers have taken. So kind of all together, that was really, you know, why we wanted to be engaged in this project.
And I know that there was also a push to put this in the school system as well as just in, you know, family homes. And tell me a little bit about distributing these books to the people who definitely were waiting for them to open up something more. Go ahead, Abby.
Well, we We produced, let's see, about 7,000 sets of the book, so 28,000 sets, and we gave away 5,000 sets, 20,000 books, to Head Start programs, to early Head Start programs, other home visiting programs like Parents as Teachers and Nurse Family Partnership, and to libraries in our state, and just to, you know, early care and learning programs. We felt like that it would be most reasonable to and easiest, most economical as well as most efficient to distribute the books through programs that children were engaged with. We also, of course, sent them to anybody who requested them, as long as we had those to give away. And the response that we've got, of course, has been fabulous. You know, parents love the books, children love the books, and they're being used in a whole variety of ways. For example, now with the pandemic, I've talked with one Head Start director who says that they're distributing the books kind of one at a time to families that they work with when children aren't able to be, you know, with them physically in the building, but that they are distributing the books along with other kinds of activities. And then another of our partners, Cook Inlet Tribal Council, one of their projects, they're doing a kind of a activity guide to go along with the book. So we're excited about that, too. So it's more than just having the books out there, but it's some of these other activities that are happening as a result of people having received the books.
And maybe you have some in your own library at home. You want to tell us about them? You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you are hearing this and know that there's a young reader in your circle that you'd like to introduce them to, you can qualify to get a copy of the set of the books by dialing in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We have 10 copies to share with folks. All you got to do is make it on air. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Well, let's go ahead and meet one of the authors on the line today out of Anchorage, Alaska. Is Angela Slada Gonzalez, and she is an author. She's the author of Button Up, Fall in Alaska. She's also the creator of the Athabascan Woman blog. Our pleasure to have her here. Angela is Koyukun Athabascan. Angela, thank you for being with us today. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Zen Nazoon, great to be here.
And Angela, what a fun introduction that you're going to give us into Alaska Native life today. And tell us a little bit about what is featured in Button Up.
Well, my book is basically about fall time. So I kind of, along with the awesome pictures that Abby mentioned from Alaska Native photographers, kind of bringing them to life with stories. So, like, there's a picture of a family going moose hunting, and I just say, like, we love to eat moose meat off to the smokehouse we go. So just kind of sharing a little bit about lifestyle and in rural Alaska, and also just giving that perspective and seeing familiar faces for little kids. You know, basically they're seeing themselves.
Yes, I really like the way the book opens, and we're met by a young woman and her baby, and the words go with it. As the days get colder, I watch the world from mama's shoulder. And explain exactly what we're seeing and the clothing that this woman is wearing and that beautiful little face that who's peeking out from behind mom. Tell me a little bit about what we see on that.
Well, it's basically a picture of a lady with a parka on. And one of the things in rural Alaska, or just in Alaska general, Alaska Native people, they have parkas where they can fit their babies on their back. And so that's the picture that's taken by Taylor Booth. And it just really, it's just a picturesque, you know, thing that you might see an Alaska Native parent with their baby on their back. It's super cute.
And Angela, for you, this is something that you don't typically find in a book, a children's book. What do you think changes when that little reader gets to see this, or even a toddler who is, you know, kind of thumbing through this book? What do you think about that of, here's this image, and they can really relate or see, that's me, I understand what that is. What do you think happens when they have this opportunity?
I think it really helps them to feel like they belong somewhere, because everything that you see in children's books today, just in the general area of books, might be, you know, something, a setting like that's in a city. And that city is far removed from the lifestyle in rural Alaska. You'll also see foods that we might eat or other activities like being out on the tundra. And those are things that are very familiar to young readers. And I think it really helps them to build their self-esteem and sense of belonging when they see someone that's represented in a really good way versus a not so good way in some of the way people are portrayed, especially Alaska Natives.
And I like that too, that sense of belonging. And one of those senses is belonging to the land. And I really like the way this particular book opens that up, and some of the scenery that, you know, we get to see while people are relating to it, even doing something like moose hunting, or even just walking on the tundra. And there's a lot that is fun, and even, you know, practical things of clothes drying on the line. And there's one image that really caught my eye. It looks like it's an image from Ian McAuliffe, and it shows a little person standing there looking out over the water with a really beautiful, looks like either sunset or sunrise. And it's just showing, you know, the possibilities of those kind of relationships. And I think it's really exciting to be able to offer something like this to our youngest readers, and their reactions, oh, they are priceless. And maybe you understand that because you have, you know, young readers, maybe you have baby books of your own. And what do you think about the interaction that they get? What do you think about this kind of opportunity? Dial in and share. 1-800-996-2848 is how you join us. We're also giving away copies of the books, and we'll be doing that right after this break, so stay tuned. But again, phone lines are open. Dial in.
A lot of people are glad to see the end of 2020. Time magazine calls it the worst year ever, but there were many positive things about the year and some silver linings. Join us for the next Native America Calling, where we'll take time to focus on some of those. We'll also hear from people who made the most of a difficult time.
Hastu medical shagunia dot Hastu dot Adri Saku, Heske Kwadik, Wasa e diud, Kachdus a. E local Indian healthcare, Kachu search Kachi eek, Kachu healthcare.gov Kati Lane, Kachu 1-800-318-2596. Centers for Medicare, Kamedicaid, Jidah Hukatan Kaya.
Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are taking a look at a series of books, Seasons of Alaska. And right now on the line, we have the author of Button Up. And if you'd like to discuss anything with our author, Angela Gonzalez, you can dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls. And you know what? Let's go to our callers. We're going to go ahead and say hello to Crystal, who joins us today out of Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Crystal, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi. I just want to say thank you for being on the radio today. I really enjoy listening to this stuff. I grew up in rural Alaska, so thank you for writing a book that I can relate to.
And for you, Crystal, growing up in rural Alaska, I'm sure there's a lot of beauty that you remember. And knowing that some of this beauty is being shared with our youngest readers, how does that make you feel?
It's exciting. It's really exciting. Since COVID started, I haven't been home to Galena in a while. So, I do miss seeing the scenery. And yeah, it's just really exciting to me.
Well, I hope you enjoy that set. Thank you for giving us a call, Crystal. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go now to Celeste, who is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in today. Celeste, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Thank you. I love your show. I'm an Anglo, but I learned so much, and I hear a point of view that I just don't hear anywhere else, and I really appreciate that. In January, I'm going to start tutoring a first grader through the OASIS program, and I would love to share these books with her just so that she sees something real about Native people instead of whatever imagining she thinks or whatever she's been taught that's inaccurate. So I think it's important to share this information with non-Natives all over the place, too. And thank you for having these authors on the show.
Thank you for that. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. Also calling in is Thea, who is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening in on KUNM. Thea, my pleasure to have you here as well. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on air.
Great. Thank you so much. And I was listening to your program. I have a young 17-month-old daughter and another on the way, and we're just so excited to learn about different representations of Native people in the United States.
Well, I'm glad to be connecting you with that and your young readers. Thea, thank you for your call there in Santa Fe, New Mexico. On the line is the author of Button Up, Fall in Alaska, Angela Gonzalez, and she is Koyukon Athabaskan. And something that we also find in the book, Angela, is connection to culture, the drum. And I really like the page where it shows these young boys dancing, and you can hear the music, or just children who are connecting to the music. And tell me a little bit about this photo or this page that features the drum. It says, "We remember where we're from, the beat of the drum," Grandpa says.
Yeah. So one of the most common things across Native America, but also across Alaska, is many of our tribes have used drums. And so this picture, it looks like it's from Southeast Alaska, looks like a Southeast Alaska drum. And it really just, when I hear the drum, I really feel like the power and connection to ancestors and my culture. And it always feels so good. It just gives me chills thinking about it now. And so I really wanted to bring that to life and in the words that, you know, you really do remember where you're from when you hear the drum. So.
And I like this one child in his shirt says, "I am Alaska Native." And seeing this little scene, I think I can agree with you that a lot of us, when we see a drum, we put our own cultural context onto it. Or maybe that moment, the last time that we heard the drum being played, or the last time we played a drum. And so there's a lot that also fans over to different tribal nations. And Angela, tell me a little bit about the process of putting your words to some of these photos. How did that work?
Well, as you can see throughout the book, you, Tara, not the readers yet, but I mean the listeners, is that there are a variety of photos from kids across Alaska, and you'll find that with the other books, the springtime and other seasons, and they're really a representation. So it's like bringing Alaska Native culture and our ways of life and our traditions, kind of explaining that. And so the pictures definitely add to the storytelling.
They certainly do. Well, we're giving you more of that invitation again if you want to join us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to patch into our feature of the book collection Seasons of Alaska. Let's go ahead and go back to our phone lines. We have another caller on the line today out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lisa is tuned in to KUNM. Lisa, thanks for giving us a ring. And go ahead, your thoughts.
Oh, thank you. I was just listening, and I saw this as an opportunity for my students. I sponsor a student organization called BLISS, Bettering Lives in Small Steps, and we just received a grant through APS to read virtually to elementary school students at Title I schools and also to purchase books for them, and we wanted the books to be diverse and culturally relevant. We also want to support local bookstores like Red Planet Books and Comics and Bookworks. So I just saw this as a great way to connect these books to our students.
Well, Lisa, thanks for reaching out. Happy reading and sharing. Thank you for your call out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's take another one. We got Melvin in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Yeah, good morning. Listening to the program and you're talking about these, sounds like fantastic pictures of natives and their lifestyle. I can't wait to see them. But, you know, I'm going to share it with my school library.
Oh, nice.
So I'll do that. But the other thing is, I think you have a group that sends different, can donate some books. Maybe you could send some to Little Shell. That travel chairman doesn't seem to know there's Alaskan natives.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that one, but Melvin, you know, connecting with the books, I think, is important. That's why we're doing that's why we do shows like this on the norm each month, connecting you to Native authors and exposing you to different books that, you know, that may not be in your own library. And you know what? I want to bring back in Abby Hensley, who's on the line. She's the executive director of Best Beginnings. And Abby, is there any opportunity if, much like Melvin wanting to bring books to a certain community, is there an opportunity like that, or where do they connect? Tell me more, Abby.
That's a very interesting question. And I think that one of the ways that people can find out about good books for Native children is with Dr. Debbie Reese and her American Indians in Children's Literature blog. She just recently highly recommended the Seasons of Alaska books and added it to her Best of 2020 list. But she's got a great list of children's books that are appropriate for our children. And I think she might be a good resource just to look at what books are available. One of the things that you know, we certainly wanted to do when we made these books was to have them be, you know, widely distributed, although our focus certainly is Alaska Native children and other Alaska children. But, you know, it's a real process to go through to actually publish books. And we were lucky enough to find a really talented woman here in Alaska who is a published author herself, and has Tricia Brown is her name. And she has done some other publishing work as well. And so she really took this project in hand for us and connected with the photographers and then with the authors as well, and really manage the project. And so I think that if anybody's interested in doing something like that, making books, that it's really important to find somebody who knows what they're doing. Because, you know, we know about literature, and we know about children, and we know some of the things that would be appropriate in these kinds of books. But we didn't know how to go about making them. So I just would would really recommend that if anybody's interested in doing that, that they, you know, reach out to somebody in their own community or state who could help them manage the process, because it's pretty complicated.
And specifically, if anybody wants to pick up a set, of course, our 10 callers today will get one. But if anybody wants to pick up a set, is there a place they can go to get more?
Yes. The Best Beginnings website is bestbeginningsalaska.org. And in the middle of the homepage, there's a circle that says Seasons of Alaska. And click on that. There's more information about how the books came to be, as well as information about how people can obtain additional copies. And we're happy to do that. I think one of the other things that I wanted to mention is that the books, when we worked with Tricia to find the photographers and their beautiful photographs, and then to select those that we thought were, you know, would be best for each season, I know Tricia worked with the authors to kind of say, let's describe what's going on in these pictures from a child's perspective. So that's what all of the four authors did. And I think that's different and really powerful. And there's just so much going on in the photographs and then in the words as well. And one of the, for example, in one of the books, the Let's Play Out book, there's a picture of, looks like a dad on a four-wheeler with a couple of children. And, you know, the caption could have been a lot of things. The story could have been about a lot of things. But Yari, the author, wrote, "Daddy got us these cool helmets." And so there's just so much going on in that picture. You know, it's safety, it's relationships, it's, you know, a four-wheeler, just lots.
And, you know, also family. Family is a huge thing that we see in all of the pages or many of the pages in the different books. And I think, you know, it gives that space for maybe even others in the family to be sitting down with young readers and, you know, having these kind of connections. A lot of excitement there. I hear it in your voice too, Abby. Thanks for sharing. And again, if you want to share with us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and take another call. We have Anthony, who's on the line today in Pecos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Anthony, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead. What are you thinking?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the air. And I really appreciate your show and, you know, everything that you share. And I'm a preschool teacher in Pecos, New Mexico. A lot of our students are, they have never been to a library, you know, and they have very limited access to books. And so one of my goals as a teacher is to expose children to pretty much as many books as I possibly can. For Native American Heritage Month, we featured a whole week of just Native American authors. And I think it's very important to expose children to, you know, all perspectives of the world, because there's so much that Native Americans have to offer to, I just think that it's very important to expose children to Native American perspectives and ways of life. And so I was really excited to hear this discussion about children's books, because that is just, you know, something that's really special to me. It's very important, I think, is for children to really be exposed to great books.
I'm glad you are reaching out and, you know, stretching the possibilities of what you'll discover when you open a book. And Anthony, was there something more you wanted to say? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that I am going to be sharing this book button up as soon as we start school again, because I think it's a great book.
Well, thanks so much. And looks like we have four more sets. And Anthony, actually, you're going to get all four seasons. So exciting. And again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848. And Angela, is there anything more you want to give folks a preview to in the book Button Up?
Yeah, basically that it just shares a whole bunch of things that happens in rural Alaska, and really gives you a glimpse. And as I've been hearing, just listening to everybody, it's really filling a gap that needs to be filled, you know. So that's one of the things that I'm proud of being part of this book collaboration with, is that, you know, it just, it's a, like a win-win-win for the kids, and not just Native kids. You know, it, everyone can benefit from learning about Alaska Native people and Native American people, the first peoples of this land. So I think that's a really powerful thing.
And Angela, you also do, as I mentioned, the Athabascan Woman blog, and you understand how much there is a need to get Indigenous perspectives out. And for you, getting a perspective from of our youngest citizens, what does that mean? Are they often left out of the circle?
I think so. I think that there's definitely, you know, it was really cool to be a part of this project. But I think overall, there's a perspective of Native people that is, our stories aren't being told. So I may not be the perfect person and the perfect writer, you know, to bring stories, but I create a space where I share stories, and, you know, I also interview people in different settings. Like one time I interviewed an Athabascan barber, you know, so.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to have to go back into your archives and take a look at that. We got to go to break here, but we'll pick things up coming up here. But that invitation, again, is there for you. We are also giving away copies of Seasons of Alaska. It's a set of four books meant for, I guess, all readers. Join us. We have copies. 1-800-996-2848 is the number.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working with tribal communities across the nation to address the opioid crisis. Breaking the cycle starts with preventing opioid misuse, treating opioid use disorder with medications and counseling, and recovery support during all phases of recovery. If you or a loved one is challenged by opioid use disorder, you can find additional information at aaip.org.
Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. It is our December book of the month, and actually, I guess it's books of the month this time around. Seasons of Alaska features four different baby books or baby board books that take a look at each of the seasons. We spent a little bit of time in the fall, courtesy of Angela Slada Gonzalez and her book, Button Up. There's also another one. I guess it's kind of a look at winter, Mittens and Mukluks. And there are two more seasons. And you know what? To introduce you to another season, we are going to go ahead and call on another one of our guests. Joining us today out of Bethel, Alaska, is Alaska Native author Carla Snow. She's the author of Bye Bye Ice, Springtime in Alaska. And she is a member of the Native Village of Kalskag. And she is Yupik and Athabascan. Our pleasure to have her here. Carla, welcome to Native America Calling.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
And Carla, introduce us to Bye Bye Ice. I know there's some people right now who are saying some of that with some of the temperatures that we're going through. Tell us a little bit about what we find in this particular season and this book.
Yeah, my book is Bye Bye Ice, Springtime in Alaska, and the cover, if you can see the cover, is adorable. And like so many of the amazing photos and all of the other books, you can't help but smile when you see the photos. My book, you know, in the spring are when baby animals are born, so that's incorporated in a lot of the photos. There's, you know, a little puppy in there, a baby mama and a moose.
There's a baby girl celebrating her first birthday with her parents in one of the photos. The photos in the book really show springtime from different parts of Alaska, so not just, you know, the area where I'm from, Southwest Alaska, but all over Alaska. And it includes really familiar scenes like, you know, kids walking in their rubber boots through half-frozen streams. It shows a little girl searching for seagull eggs out on the tundra. It shows a scene where looks like it's up north where they're beluga hunting out on the water. There's just a lot of really familiar photos when you, you know, for Alaska natives, when you look through the book showing, different scenes from springtime in Alaska.
And take us to the section where it is featuring the beluga and explain a little bit about what's going on and that yummy treat that's featured in the pages too.
Yeah. So there's a photo of a girl out on the water in a boat, and you can see that there's, you know, it looks like there's ice behind her still. It's springtime and they're out, you know, searching for beluga. And then on the next page, it's a couple pages later, I think it shows a photo of cut up muktuk that, for people who've had it, it's, and enjoy it, it's just like a mouthwatering photo. But, and for people who have never had it, it's an interesting one. It shows both the black muktuk and the beluga.
And I think it's really important, too, to have our indigenous foods, you know, being featured in this, too. And a lot of times what we eat at home or what we eat traditionally isn't what you're seeing on, you know, fancy menus in different places. And I think this also brings some of this pride into what we eat, that maybe some, you know, places or some people might frown on what we eat traditionally, but this, you know, it's giving it spotlight and showing, you know, that it is important that we celebrate these foods. And what do you think about that, giving that kind of opportunity to our young people where, you know, they might be misunderstood by what they eat?
Yeah, I think it's, in several of the books, I know that they show, like, you know, the dry fish, and then, of course, moose hunting. I think it's awesome that they highlight that because it's such a huge part of our culture to be able to, you know, it's a huge part of our culture to be able to eat those native foods and to share them with others, you know. So I think it's great that they included a lot of photos of the traditional foods that we eat. And
yes, and from the different seasons too. I really like this kind of exposure to some of what we, you know as Native people and what we've eaten, you know, for generations. And what about you? If you were to put a page like this in a book for our youngest readers, what would you feature? You can tell us about that too, 1-800-996-2848. And again, if any of this is sparking an idea that maybe this is something you would want to jump into for the young readers of your tribe, you can share some thoughts on that too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're also giving away copies of the series, 4 books. All you got to do is dial in 1-800-996-2848 and get on air with your comment or question. Well, let's go ahead and go back to our phone lines. We're going to say hi to Michael, who is in Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Michael, thanks for reaching out. You're on air.
Yeah, great. Nice to talk to you. I'm a longtime member of KNBA here in Anchorage, and I actually volunteered when Angela used to work at KNBA. So I'm just really, I appreciate the Native culture, and I'm really proud that she was able to put out this book, and I'm just looking really forward to getting it and sharing it with some of my Native friends.
Very nice, Michael. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for being a dedicated listener to KMBA. Let's take another call. We have Leticia, who is in Albrook, California, tuned in online. Leticia, thank you for dialing in. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Thank you so much. This is a great topic. I'm a retired teacher here in Fallbrook, and about 17 years ago, we started a program called Fallbrook a Leer Family Reading, and it was an effort to try to get books, relevant books, into the hands of children and in their homes that they could relate to. So when I hear, you know, authors taking that that very important feature of a family's background, a family's history, and putting it in literature, because when you put it in a book, it gives it so much validity. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so difficult as teachers to try to get kids interested in reading, because they don't see themselves in their books and in their literature. And I can remember when I was growing up, and I'm almost 70 years old, the books that we learned to read on were the Dick and Jane books that had absolutely no relationship to my background, to my family, to any history. And I think that, you know, we're way past that. So I really appreciate learning about books that we can make sure get into the hands of children, get into the homes of children that belong to them. The books that we give out in this event, Fallbrook a Leer, they're books that children can keep. And some are paperback, some are hardback, because we want them to respect what a book can offer them, a love of reading, a love of adventure, and a love of their culture and their history and how they can be respected in literature. So I really appreciate this topic, and I appreciate the opportunity to share what we do here in Fallbrook with you all.
Well, thanks so much. I'm glad you called in, Leticia. And let's take another. We have Monty, who is in Gallup, New Mexico, tuned in on KGLP. Monty, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Well, I just wanted to say that I love the program. And I tuned in about halfway through today. I usually tune in at the beginning. I usually drive out to Cibola National Forest with my dog, and we... I don't say like a possession, my canine partner. And we listen to you as we're driving out there. And then I frequently sit in the parking lot and listen to the show. And then I walk with my canine friend. But this is a particularly great show. The idea of these books is fantastic. It strikes me that that they should be read by all the kids in school, not just the Native Americans. It would be very good for many cultures to read these books and become exposed to what these writers are offering. And I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the program. I'm a frequent flyer. I've talked to you before, and I've received gifts from you before, and I've considered the biggest gift to be the program. And I just wanted to thank you. It's just a great show.
Well, Monty, thank you so much for making us a part of your life. You and your partners, wish you a good walk when you get on that journey again. And that's exciting that you spend the hour with us and take in all of these great words and the different people that we're able to speak with. And then you get that time to reflect, and especially being outdoors. That is an honor. Thank you for reaching out, Monty. Glad to know you're out there doing that. We got another caller I'm going to go to. We're going to say hi to Joseph, who is in Estancia, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Joseph, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Good morning. I'm with everybody else. I enjoy your program. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I enjoy this topic and a lot of your other topics. I believe any positive literature to Native American culture is good for the kids. Being a former teacher at APS, you know, I just think kids are open to everything. And I think, you know, getting exposed to positive literature and positive cultures and just the positive aspects of, you know, Native American cultures among other cultures, I think is a good thing for the kids to be exposed to.
I agree. Thank you for giving us a ring, Joseph. And that looks like that's it for our sets of books. But again, if you would like to connect, we have a link on our website. And here with us, too, is another one of the authors of Bye Bye Ice, Carla Snow. She is Yupik and Athabascan. And Carla, there is a word that is featured in the book, and it's Yupik for grandfather. I'm going to have you say it, And tell me about incorporating native language into this project.
Yeah, the word for grandpa is Appa in Yupik, and one of the photos there's looks like a little baby boy, and he's sharing his toy with his Appa, and the page says, "I share my skin ball with Appa." Yeah, there's another page in there where it talks about the ulu, the knife, you know, that we use for cutting, and I thought it was great that we were able to incorporate those words into the story if we wanted to. They put the definition down at the bottom because everybody's not going to know what those words are. But yeah, being able to incorporate that in the book was great that they allowed it. So.
Mm-hmm. And Carla, you are also a mother, and I'm wondering if your kids had a reaction to the series.
Yeah, my kids are older. My youngest is 13, and then I have a couple of other older ones. But yeah, they were surprised. I mean, this is something new. It's not something that I thought I would ever do. But when the opportunity was presented, I thought my first thought was like, "Who am I to do something like this?" And then I thought, you know what, this is a chance to show, you know, other Alaska Natives and to show my children that if this is something you want to do and, you know, that you can do it, you can be a part of something. And I thought, they thought it was great. They loved the pictures. They obviously were very familiar with a lot of the photos. And, when my kids were little, we read to them like crazy. And this is, you know, I've never seen anything like this where it showed actual photos of really familiar faces and places and, the traditional lifestyle that we try to live in books that we can share with our kids. So, you know, I thought it was a cool project to be able to be a part of and something that, you know, can pass on and hopefully inspire other, friends, Alaska Natives, and, my own children to, you know, if there's something that they want to do like this, that they can.
I think showing photos takes a different route than, you know, we see a lot of beauty when there is an author or an illustrator brought in to kind of match the words or either be the leading guide to how the words come out. But this approach, it gives you, you know, people in everyday situations. And also here too on the line is Angela Slada Gonzalez, the author of Button Up. And Angela, I did want to get your take too about this route of having photos, talking about real life things and even just, you know, simple moments like hugging your dog. Go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to feature the photos because it also really tells the stories that need to be told and normalized, just like everything that we've been talking about. Everyone can benefit from knowing, you know, about Alaska Native and Native American culture and lifestyle because we're in a place where we have to fight for, you know, getting our voices out. So this is just a great opportunity to feature Native writers, work with Native writers, and also help nurture them. So I think that's a really awesome part of this project.
And Angela, people are always looking for more resources. I know you have a book coming up about fish camp. Another one of the authors in the series of Mittens and Mucklucks also has another book coming out. Any more resources you want to throw out there as we wrap up?
I think just the encouragement for people to believe in themselves, to tell their stories, take advantage of opportunities, submit your work. You just never know where things are going to lead. So just put yourself out there. That's the exciting part.
All right. Thanks so much. And thank you to all of the authors who joined us today, Angela Slada Gonzalez, as well as Carla Snow. And two more books in the series are Let's Play Outside, which is about summer, and Mittens and Mucklucks, that talks about winter in Alaska. Thank you for joining us today, and also thank you to Best Beginnings Alaska for also providing copies of the book to our different callers. And if you missed anything in the hour, you can hit rewind by visiting our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com, where you can hear this program archived or any of our programs and explore there. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope you'll do it again tomorrow. I'm Tara Gatewood.
The Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe provides a world-class arts education to Native American and non-Native students alike. IAIA presents the virtual Holiday Marketplace now through the new year. A wide variety of unique handmade items made by the talented members of the IAIA community are now available for purchase at iaia.edu/marketplace. IAIA supports this show.
Kaka alu sistem nasional ilat napski jangk ap kucing laut cintik nasional risku jangk ap kucing kelas hat ilav tika yuk cikat nkaisen muzvik pnik ika yung jatuh kah pnik kan sud kiu muzvik pnik jali lga nasional risku vizari ku vtaksuku healthcare.gov kuasu kaya gaulu ku 1-800-318-2596 unaking unang ktukwagan Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.